Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you looking for something to do that's really different this weekend? Why not step way outside of the box? Why not step out of your cultural comfort zone? With so much racial division in our country, what can we do as individuals to bridge the divide? And why is it so hard for us to do that? Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Martine Ellie. She is an expert on culture. Also, we're going to be joined shortly by Javon Harley, international travel expert and founder of Advantage International. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Ellie, good to see you. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So let me first start looking at the issue of cultural comfort zones. How would you define a cultural comfort zone?
I think it would be just being open to different cultures, whether it's their food, their traditions, and being willing to try different things. So knowing that you're comfortable stepping outside of yourself and immersing in someone else's culture.
Now, because we hear a lot about the term birds of a feather, and for me, that means that, you know, like likes the like. If you're a black person, for the most part, you hang with black people, you live in a black community, you eat foods that may be considered traditional black food, soul food, and you know, mm-hmm. and the like. And yet, you, for example, you have a rather eclectic background. You are Haitian.
Yes.
So, but with that said, and you've been in the United States for quite some time, but you are also someone who's traveled a great deal. I mean, where have you traveled?
Various parts of the Caribbean, Europe, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Portugal, a few different countries.
Why?
I just have an interest in travel. I love to meet new people, try new things, and just see how different people live.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so funny when you, in certain circles, there's kind of been a bit of a resurgence about this. Some people say, how many black folks have a passport? but I think the reality is that even though we may see more and more people traveling internationally, for example, I think the reality is that it is still, you know, most, when you compare it to, say, other cultures in the United States, black people are still lagging behind when it comes to owning passports.
Mm-hmm. And that is the case. But I don't think you have to leave the States to travel. There's so many cultural events and ways to immerse in different cultures. So, you know, even if you're local, I think about DC and the passport to DC that opens the doors to different embassies. And so that's a simple way to immerse yourself in different cultures, and just various cultural events. Mm-hmm. So you are right. There are quite a few people that don't have passports and don't leave, but, you can stretch out of your comfort zone even locally, and then maybe that will help you to feel some comfort to mm-hmm. do it abroad.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about stepping outside of your cultural comfort zone, not just as it relates to travel, but also as it relates to what you eat, how you interact with your community, and why that kind of thing is important. Lines are open if you want to give us a call. If you are still a little uncomfortable with stretching out of your comfort zone, your cultural comfort zone. I'd like to hear from you. And for those of you who are okay with it, I'd be interested in hearing why. Let's go to Byron. Byron calling from California. Byron, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I think it's a good time for black people to expand their cultural horizons. First and foremost, I want to say that being comfortable in your own culture is primary, and it's a gateway to becoming acclimated to other cultures. For example, knowing your parents. I'm the proud product of Louisiana parents who then migrated to California by way of the U.S. Navy. And I was born in California, but I'm still very much connected to my Louisiana roots. So given those two ends of the spectrum, I understand my Louisiana roots and also my Southern California roots, which are extremely eclectic. It's Southeast Asian, it's Mexican, and through those experiences, you know, I've been able to research and also make plans to travel abroad myself. I live in a border city, so I've been to Mexico a few times. It's really important for black people to consider themselves a part of the global community. And here's one essential reason why. The African slave trade. You know, we weren't just a product and a commodity, but we also became a substance of value in other city-states and other cultures. So we can actually consider ourselves as American, as European, as Chinese, as Brazilian. Wherever we are, where Africans step on the planet, we can consider ourselves a part of that.
Okay.
Because a part of us have been scattered all over the world.
Well, Byron, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. As I mentioned earlier, we now have Javon Harley, a international travel expert and founder of Advantage International. Javon, you're there? How are you?
I'm here. Very good. Thank you. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to kind of go back to the issue of stepping outside of your comfort zone. Obviously, you have literally traveled the world. But even outside of the issue of travel, it brings to mind that you must not only interact with different parts of the world, but people in different parts of the world, food and other cultures. Talk to me a little bit about why you believe it is so important to do that.
Well, you learn, you grow, you become a more understanding person, and you see yourself, as the doctor said previously, as part of the global society at large. And it's not just based on ethnicity, but also gender and age. But in this experience that you get to go to a destination, and it's not just about seeing of the sights, but it's about connecting with people. And that's one of the things that I really like to focus on. We do home-hosted dinners. When we go to a destination, for example, like Japan, each dining experience was a different dining experience because not all Japanese cuisine is sushi. So we ate as a sumo wrestler would eat. We ate some very home-cooked meals. We had a plant-based diet and teppanyakis or teriyakis or the meats that are cooked over grills. So it's very important to understand the complexities of multiple cultures, even within the same cultural society.
Why do you suppose that it is so difficult for some black folks? I mean, call it as I see it. Why it is so difficult for them to step out of their cultural norms? And I'm reminded of a line from The Wire a couple of years ago, where one character was telling another character to leave Baltimore and go to Philadelphia to hide out. And his comment was, "I don't leave East Baltimore." So why is it so difficult for people to really step out of that comfort zone?
I think it's a combination of things. It can be lack of opportunity. It could be fear of the unknown and lack of exposure at an early age. And part of an American culture, I think, is also, it is very relevant or prevalent, I should say, in the Black community. But also I see it in other cultures and community as well within America, is that we're in such an assimilation type of culture that we don't look outside of that.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Ellie, you know, same question, because I'm thinking just, you know, historically, where America has been so segregated,
mm-hmm.
and particularly for Black people, where going to the other side of the tracks was a reason to be afraid,
mm-hmm.
a reason for you to be concerned that if you go to the other side of tracks, which may just very well be the other side of town, in the segregated South or in any segregated part of America, that you may not come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would agree. Going back to your question, I think that lack of exposure is definitely one of the major reasons that people may not travel. And that comes from maybe what they've been exposed to in their home communities. Did their families travel? You know, what fears did they have surrounding it? I think that once you do, it changes your worldview. I think about the Howard experience and traveling with students. And I remember one particular trip where we had a student that was from Virginia, and she shared she had never left the country. And she is now seeing more countries that I've traveled to. And it was just that one exposure of taking her out of her comfort zone via service that exposed her to, this is what travel is like. This is what the world is like. And so I think it's exposure, and just having it makes a big difference.
One of the other things too, it has often been said that Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America, where you have people going to various and sundry church services, and the Baptists going to their church service, you have the Catholics going to their church services, and so forth and on. And I would also argue, for example, Javon, that even growing up, not necessarily in my immediate family, but I think one of the fears is, you know, if you were raised as a Protestant and then you start asking questions about what's happening in the synagogue or what may be happening in the mosque, that some family members may say, instead of broadening those horizons, they may very well say, you don't need to go over there, because they don't want you to perhaps be exposed to another form of faith or religion that may make you change your mind.
It's exactly the point that I said earlier, in that part of our American culture is assimilation. So it's more considered more of a cultural assimilation, more so than a cultural mosaic, where you can coexist and have that respect and inclusion of various cultures, and that includes language and religion and ethnicity as well. So you're absolutely right with that. And the two most segregated places in America are church and hair salons and barbershops.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about why it's important to step outside of your cultural comfort zone, not just in travel, but also what you eat and who your friends are. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Erin, calling from Odenton. What do you think?
Hi, yes. Thanks for having me. This is one of my favorite topics, actually. I've always been open to travel, but I don't think I realized the importance of it until I went on my first solo trip to the Philippines, and it was a life-changing experience. I learned so much about myself. I learned about culture. I ate different foods, and it's kind of been a mission of mine to encourage or inspire people, and especially people of color or young people who just, as you mentioned before, just haven't had access or exposure to it, or it just doesn't seem accessible to them. It seems like a lot of people feel like, you know, if they don't look at it as an investment, they look at it as I'm incapable of it because maybe I don't make enough money. And I usually tell people I went on my first trip by putting a $20 bill in a box, you know, every time I got paid. And it's also, I'm a travel photographer, so I try to inspire people through my work, and I can't wait for you
to hear that. Erin, I think we lost you, but thank you so much for your comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And this is one of the other things that I want to mention now, but talk about also after the break, because this isn't necessarily about even international travel, but sometimes exposing yourself to other cultures and other ways of life, particularly for us here in the DC metro or for those who live in big cities, you know, sometimes all you have to do is drive 100 miles down the road and you may interact with people and cultures that you just didn't know were even there when you were growing up.
Yes, I totally agree.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Ellie, for example, you spent a lot of time in your life in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the melting pot, the mulligan stew, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you could literally walk, you know, down a block and encounter a whole different culture.
And I want to say that's a big difference with D.C. And I think that was my exposure to culture. The city is so diverse, and in your one area, you have all of these different cultures that live there. And so you're right. When you're in a city that's like this, you have to make a more concerted effort, to step out and embrace those other cultures.
And when I come back from the break, I want to ask, Javon, how do you embrace other cultures, other people when you are a novice at that? Think about that. Also, we're going to talk to Teresa. She's calling from Chillum, and Pam calling from Virginia. Please do not hang up. We will be talking to you in just a bit. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few minutes. And like I said, we will continue to take your phone calls even after 7:30. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about stepping out of your cultural comfort zone, whether it has to do with how you live, how you travel, what you eat, and the people that you know in your relationships. My guests are Dr. Martine Ellie, she's an expert on culture, and Javon Harley, international travel expert and founder of Advantage International. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pam calling from Virginia. Pam, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there. How are y'all?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. I wanted to let you all know or give you all a sort of funny story. I grew up my entire life Catholic, black Catholic. We don't scream and shout and jump up and down like y'all Baptists. we're very quiet. And this is for the younger folks. There was a time when we were not allowed, when President Kennedy was going, he was not allowed to go to any other church. You just didn't. I know that seems strange today, but it was a rule. And I was 19, I'm 57 now, but I was 19 years old. My stepfather was stationed in Monterey, California. And spent the night with a girlfriend, went to a Baptist church, had never been before. And I'm sitting there, the woman in front of me started to scream and shout and jumping up and hollering. You talking about scared to death? I was so scared, I was in tears. I wanted my mama because I didn't know what was going on. And I think about that from time to time, and I think, my God, how far we have come, because nowadays people, and most people, because there's still some people, oh, we ain't going over there. Mm-hmm. But today, you are encouraged to get to know your neighbor's religion and food and whatnot. And I do that all the time. My girlfriends tease me. They say, you eat anybody's food. And I do. But I just remember that today I laugh every time I think about that, because it's funny to me now, because now I know what's going on, of course, and it's not so foreign to me. And I tell my girlfriends that, who are Baptists, and they laugh. They look at me and say, how come you didn't know? You don't do that. No, we don't do that in the Catholic Church.
Well, Pam, thank you so much for sharing that with me, which brings me to an interesting point. Pam made a point that I thought was fascinating. Javon, she said her girlfriend said, you eat anybody's food. And I know she's not talking about somebody who necessarily puts raisins in the potato salad, but I think that when you do, for example, travel, and I'm not talking necessarily about internationally, but just traveling around the United States, one of the things that often brings different cultures together is the food. Javon.
Is one of the biggest challenges and the most asked question I get prior to any of our trips. And what I do is mostly international. But it is the number one question. What is the food like there? Because we're consuming it. So we have picky eaters. We have those who aren't so picky, but they hear these horror stories or they hear these bizarre stories. And the fear of whether or not I can eat the food is one big thing. I tell you a funny story that I once had a traveler on one of my trips to South Africa bring canned food.
Wow.
Because she was so fearful of eating the food. And then when she got there, she, of course, said that she felt silly because the cuisine there was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So food is a gateway into a cultural experience. It tells you a lot about a culture, whether it's spicy or sweet, whether it's diverse or not. So you can really tell that if you look at New Orleans, for example, it's very diverse because it has so many influences from the French and the African and the Native Americans, and you see all of that in the food.
Or even if it's still moving when you eat it.
Yeah. And I would add to that, one of the things that I find around food is that you also find that there's so many similarities. And so that's a conversation piece as well, that you eat some of the same things. It's called something different in all of these different cultures. And so you bond over the differences, but you also bond over the similarities of what you're sharing and what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Teresa calling from Chillum. Thanks for calling, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
I just wanted to say everybody eats rice. There's a children's book. I'm a teacher. And the book talks about how while everybody might cook different things to go with their rice, everybody in the world eats rice.
But do you know, Teresa, how many varieties of rice there actually are? There are hundreds of varieties of rice.
Mm-hmm. So the thing that really provoked me to call was the comment that your guest made about exposing children early to different languages and different cultures. And I think sometimes, I know a lot of times, in our communities, our children are not allowed the opportunities to learn languages, learn French, learn Spanish. I moved over to Chillum from Landover, and everybody was like, well, you better learn Spanish. And I said, I already know Spanish. What do you know?
What do you know?
But the opportunities for our young people who know languages are immense, especially my daughter's gone to work for the State Department now because she speaks French, she speaks Russian. Mm-hmm. And English and Ebonics, if you hear her tell it. But it opened that door to her, and we need to teach our children those languages so that they can be diplomats. They can go to work for the World Bank, USAID. All of these opportunities are available for our young people, but a lot of them don't have the language background.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point, Teresa. Thank you so much. And that's another thing, Dr. Ellie. You are also multilingual.
Yes, I speak French, Haitian Creole, and a little bit of Spanish as well.
And I think that is so important. My Spanish is difficult, but I still have some understanding of it. My daughter is semi-fluent. And when Teresa was just talking about exposing your children, even if you can't have them travel internationally, particularly in big cities, one of the things that I did with my daughter was systematically take her to every kind of restaurant that I possibly could when she was developing her palate. And there is very little that she will not eat, and even less that she won't try.
Well, that's wonderful.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Julian calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Julian.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing just fine.
Good. Yeah, I was lucky enough to, I taught for the Department of Defense Education Activities. My family lived overseas for 8 years. We did 7 years in South Korea, 1 year in Turkey. My youngest son was born in Korea and, you know, was fluent in Turkish. He did Turkish preschool. We moved back about 3 years ago. And I noticed a lot of my friends are traveling, but I'm not sure if they're, well, I mean, who am I to say? But I think the point that you made about just getting 100 miles down the road is important. And growing up in D.C., you know, Annandale is like Koreatown. You know, you used to have a Chinatown downtown. You know, I think that exposure is key. So those who may be thinking, I don't have the money to travel, like you said, and there are little neighborhoods that we should be getting to. We should have, you know, a shoe repair guy in this part of town or a grocer in this part of town. We know she's got the best strawberries, and our kids should be out on the weekends, you know, just kind of meeting people. And if they're seeing that, hey, mom and dad talk to people of other cultures, I should too.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Julian. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kevin calling from California. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me. I just happened to sneak past this program. I've never heard of it before.
Well, thank you so much for being a first time caller.
Oh, my gosh. I am the, so picture this, middle-aged white guy from California, conservative. Got mm-hmm. it? But what I just heard you say, the difference of fear that people have of assimilation as opposed to a mosaic, I think that's life-changing for me. We're afraid to have our children intermix with other cultures, other churches, other religions, other ethnic groups, because we're afraid that they're going to be changed into something they're not right now. In other words, everybody's going to turn gray. But
yeah.
Your guest just said it's a mosaic. You remain what you are, and you mix with those other pieces that remain what they are, and we all make the picture. That's ridiculously smart.
Well, Kevin, yeah, thank you so much for your comment. What do you think about what Kevin is sharing with us, Javon?
Well, and I was the one that said it because I think it's
yes,
so prolific because it is
about maintaining your own identity. Who wants to lose their own identity? But it's also connecting with others, having respect, having that borderline respect of other people and their beliefs, even if they're different than yours, that you can coexist with someone who doesn't believe or look or act just like you. That is really that difference between that cultural assimilation versus a mosaic.
Do you have a thought about that, Dr. Ellie?
I was going to say, I think it's really important because it really prepares people not only for worldview, but your work life as well. Because once you step out, you're going to be with individuals that are different. And so when we think about cultures and the exposure, we're in a diverse setting each and every day. And so if we expose people early on, you know, bringing in your comments of knowing that you don't have to change, but that you're accepting, then it just makes everything that you do in life much easier.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you so much for listening in and taking and making the phone call and sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the things, Dr. Ellie, that struck me, we've talked a lot about travel, but I think that one of the things that's really important, and I use myself as an example, since graduating from college, I've lived in 7 cities, okay, because my television career took me all over the place, and I went from Baltimore back to Washington, D.C., then to Tallahassee, Florida, then to Huntsville, Alabama, then Columbus, Ohio, and then Buffalo, New York, and then to Kansas City, Missouri, I'm losing count, and then to Baltimore, Maryland. I would argue that each one of those cities had its own American culture. There were accents, there were attitudes, there were appetites that were very, very different. And the black folks were different in Huntsville, Alabama than they were in Buffalo, New York. The white folks in Buffalo, New York were much different than the ones in Kansas City, Missouri. And as a matter of fact, you know, I will say, you know, Buffalo, New York, while the city was very segregated, but there were I lived in a community that was mostly Jewish and Italian, but in South Buffalo there were Western Europeans. You had people who were there from Poland, and then you from Poland descendants, immigrants, and then in Western Buffalo you had the Latin community, and the black folks lived in East Buffalo. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about that city is that while everyone else stayed in their own pockets, because I was a news person, I traveled all over the city, and it was amazing to see, like I said, the melting pot, the different cultures, the world cultures and the regional American cultures. It was really, it was fascinating to me. And I think it changed me positively forever. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, more about stepping out of your cultural norms. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's Madison.
Welcome back to The Daily Drama on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing our conversation about stepping outside of your cultural comfort zone. Let me quickly go to Robert, calling from Fort Washington. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm in sort of agreement to an extent with the first gentleman that called in. I think his name was Byron, and he talked about being comfortable. I think it goes beyond that. I think particularly for African-American people, I think you have to value your own culture before you can step into and appreciate another culture. It's just one of those things that I see. I mean, and it's like the lady said, and I forget her name, I apologize, but she talked about this is an assimilationist culture that we live in, our society that we live in. Everybody wants to be something else. So it's almost like the Washington Monument Syndrome. We have our own culture right in our own front yard. and we don't appreciate it, and we don't appreciate it until it's appropriated back to us by somebody else. Then we're willing to pay for it. You know?
Wow.
And so I think it's one of those things, unfortunately, that is a derivative, if you will, of the psychosis of slavery. You know, we don't appreciate us as much as somebody else does.
Interesting. Thank you so much for that, Robert. Javon, I want to ask you, I'm sure that your exposure to various and sundry cultures and races has changed you. How briefly would you say that it has?
Oh, it has changed me tremendously. And starting at a very young age, I have to applaud my parents, who were very young parents. My mother especially, who got us out of our own community. I was born and raised in Southeast D.C., and she had us all over Washington, D.C., at museums and restaurants and just going out and exploring the city. So it started there. And then I was a bus student, so I went from Southeast D.C. to Hardy Elementary School. Had to go all across town by myself to go to this other school and dropped into another community completely, and then having to come back home to my own community and culture and trying to deal with both of those. And then as an exchange student, when I went to high school to Germany and lived there for a few months as a high school student, and that all of those things together gave me the bug to want to travel and then started my own travel company. So it has changed me tremendously in opening my mind and wanting to grow. I think we're in the process of living is that process of learning and growing. I'll quickly tell you about the analogy of the lobster and reference to, I believe, Robert, who just called. Yes, embrace and respect and fall in love with your own culture. But what happens with a lobster is that it becomes uncomfortable within its shell because it's outgrowing that shell. And it then starts to shed that shell and look for a new one because it has to grow and it's uncomfortable. So being uncomfortable allows you to grow and experience other things. And it doesn't mean that you have to give up who you are.
Same question for you, Dr. Ellie. How has stepping out of your cultural comfort zone changed you as a black woman?
A lot of different ways. I will start with from my personal relationships. I think that it's changed how I've related, how I relate to different individuals, understanding how to navigate between different cultural groups. I would say from a medical standpoint, knowing that there are different ways to treat different things. So not looking at things maybe from just a Western standpoint, but an Eastern standpoint. And so I think that it's had personal and professional changes in terms of how stepping outside has definitely made an impact on me.
One of the things that I will say, and that's kind of going back to not even so much the international travel piece, but traveling even within the United States, and as a black man who was raised in the D.C. metro, one of the things that I have learned, and particularly when you look at today's divisive political climate. You may have some people who have never really traveled outside of the D.C. metro, and you could argue that maybe some of those political views are very, very much the same. But when you've had an opportunity not only to travel but to live in other parts of the United States, then you really begin to understand, for example, you may have a lot of people who support the president now, and you may not understand that, but if having lived in, for example, Kansas City, in Missouri, there are places in this country where there are people who don't see people of other colors.
Mm-hmm.
They literally live their entire lives, whether it's grocery shopping, buying a car, buying a house, going to the doctors, and they only see white people. And so when I was immersed in those communities covering news, the thing that I try to do, and you know, God forgive me for speaking for all black men or black people, but sometimes I was the first one that they may have encountered other than what they see on television. And those are those teachable moments, I think, for example, Javon, that you use to bridge, you know, the cultural divides, the racial divides. And I'll just say, for example, you know, my co-anchor, when I lived in Buffalo, she came from a conservative household. She was Catholic. I was raised Methodist. I'm Baptist now. But she was such a wonderful person because she was able to gently and curiously ask me black stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was so important for me to share that with her. And give her the caveat, well, this is how it happened for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's great that you say that. I think that one thing it does is it changes our perception. And I say that coming from an immigrant family, you know, where we grew up, although we were in the States, really strongly immersed in the values of, you know, our home bringing. And so when I think about the friends that I have here in the States, it just changed our perception of each other. I learned from them. They learned from me. And that exposure continued to occur. And it still does to this day. And so I think that it changes and it gives you a broader view of things.
Have you had any teachable moments, Javon, that you've brought back with you in your travels?
Oh, boy. Well, there's always a teachable there's always a teachable moment, but I think that in the many travels that I've had, certainly in South Africa is a place that I travel to a lot. I think that what the perception that people had probably going over and what they experienced when they got there, because Africa is seen as one place. Yet it is 54 countries. And I think that is probably the biggest teachable moment, that we have to do a little bit due diligence in knowing our geography and not relying so much on what we see on television, because that is a huge misperception and misconception when people travel to South Africa and how different it is from a lot of other African countries, and that there is so much diversity within or on the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, again, when you talk about, you know, travel, right now, my sister and her 14-year-old son, they are in South Africa. And my sister travels a lot on her job. A couple of years ago, she was in China. I'm so jealous. But one of the ways that I was able to even now continue to expand my awareness of different cultures is, yeah, everybody wants to go to Paris. Who can afford to go to Paris? Mm-hmm. Except for, you know, Javon and Dr. Ellie. But, but I, instead of going to Paris, I went to Montreal last year, which I called, you know, Paris Light. You know, because the first language is still French. Mm-hmm. And while it is not as old as Paris, it is one of the oldest places in North America. The city is one of the oldest developed cities in North America. It's 530 some odd years old. Mm-hmm. And some places look like it. And I don't mean falling down, but I mean the historic district is just really amazing. And to try to navigate that historically, culturally, it really is an eye-opening experience. I only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask both of you, give me just one thing that you would recommend, Dr. Ellie, for someone who really wants to step out of their cultural box and explore, whether it's food, people, travel. What? Give me a little bite.
I would say just do it. If you want to do it locally, just try a different restaurant. If you're willing to travel, there's so many groups that are out there. So, you know, if it's fear that's holding you back, I would say just step out on faith. And, you know, once you do it and you take that first step and you travel somewhere, I think that it changes your world.
Mm-hmm. Javon, one bite to change that world, to step out of your cultural comfort zone.
Well, certainly if you are traveling and if you've made that step, go a step further and connect with a culture and a community. Go have breakfast at the local cafe where people normally have breakfast. You'll find a lot there, and do some people watching. Visit neighborhoods. Walking tours. If you still want to do a tour, an organized tour, do a walking tour through a neighborhood, maybe a tasting tour. All of those things would give you a great insight to a culture and allow you to connect.
There it is, food again. whether it's moving or not, there it is. Dr. Martine, Ellie, and Javon Harley, thank you both so much for talking to us, and I really appreciate your insight. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, August 9th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University.